Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Ninar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Raven Rock, the story of the U.S. government's secret plan to save itself, while the rest of us die, by Garrett M. Graff investigates the hidden continuity of government system built to keep federal leadership functioning after catastrophe. Drawing on declassified documents, archival reporting, and interviews that have been publicly discussed around the book, Graff traces how Cold War fears of nuclear attack produced underground bunkers, dispersed command posts, and elaborate relocation plans for officials, agencies, and communications. The title refers to the Raven Rock Mountain Complex, a hardened facility tied to military command and emergency governance. Rather than treating these preparations as mere historical curiosities, the book frames them as an evolving apparatus that shaped budgets, civil defense messaging, and national security culture for decades. It also presses an uncomfortable question: when survival planning focuses on institutions first, what happens to democratic accountability and the public's expectations of protection? The result is a narrative that blends political history, infrastructure, and ethics into a single story about power under extreme stress. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, continuity of government as a shadow architecture. A central topic is the creation of continuity of government, a parallel architecture designed to preserve executive and military command if Washington were destroyed or disabled. The book follows how plans moved from abstract scenarios into concrete systems, hardened facilities, redundant communications, and organizational blueprints for who would be moved, where they would go, and how authority would be reconstituted. This includes the logic of decentralizing decision-making while maintaining unity of command, an inherent tension when speed and secrecy compete with normal constitutional processes. The narrative shows continuity planning as more than a set of bunkers. It becomes an operating assumption, shaping procurement, staffing, and interagency coordination, including drills and classified protocols that few outside the system ever see. By treating continuity as infrastructure, the book highlights how physical assets and procedural rules reinforce each other. A secure site is meaningless without communications, and communications are meaningless without pre-delegated authority and trained personnel. The topic also raises governance questions that persist beyond the Cold War, such as how emergency plans are reviewed, what oversight exists, and how citizens can evaluate policies that are, by design, kept out of public debate. Secondly, underground bunkers, relocation sites, and the logistics of survival. Another major topic is the physical and logistical network built to shelter leaders and sustain operations, epitomized by facilities associated with Raven Rock. The book explores the practical requirements of keeping government functioning, power generation, water, air filtration, secure entry points, and space for communications, briefings, and staff support. It also examines the dispersed map of relocation sites intended to reduce the risk of a single decapitation strike, along with transportation plans and the problem of moving key people quickly during a crisis. These logistics highlight a harsh reality of emergency governance: capacity is finite, and selection is unavoidable. Even without dwelling on specific internal lists, the story conveys how continuity planning necessitated decisions about which functions and personnel mattered most, and how those judgments shaped agency priorities. The physicality of the system also influences culture. When survival depends on secrecy, compartmentalization becomes normal, and the facilities themselves become symbols of permanence and preparedness. By detailing the nuts and bolts of bunkers and relocation planning, the book makes the abstract idea of nuclear-era fear tangible and shows how infrastructure embodies policy choices about whose safety is considered essential. Thirdly, civil defense, public messaging, and unequal protection. The book confronts the divide between what officials planned for themselves and what the public was told to expect. Civil defense campaigns historically emphasized preparedness steps for ordinary families and communities, yet continuity planning invested heavily in preserving national command structures. Graff's narrative treats this as a moral and political dilemma. If an attack is catastrophic enough to require underground government, then public survival may be limited regardless of messaging. The topic explores how reassurance can become a tool of stability, encouraging social order and deterrence, even if the underlying probabilities of mass survival are low. It also touches on how resource allocation reveals priorities. Expensive hardened sites and secure communications represent a form of insurance for state capacity, while broad population protection would require vastly greater investment and sustained public mobilization. This imbalance can erode trust when citizens learn that the most robust preparations were reserved for a small cohort. The book uses the tension to probe deeper questions about legitimacy in crisis. Does protecting continuity of leadership serve the public by enabling recovery, or does it represent a form of self-preservation detached from democratic responsibility? This topic makes the story resonate beyond history and into contemporary debates about risk, transparency, and fairness. Fourthly, secrecy, oversight, and constitutional stress tests. A further topic is how secrecy reshapes governance. Continuity plans often remain classified to prevent adversaries from targeting vulnerabilities, but classification also limits oversight and public consent. The book examines how emergency authorities can expand in the shadow of existential threats, raising issues about who decides, under what legal framework, and with what checks. Continuity systems involve succession, delegation, and extraordinary operational rules, all of which become stress tests for constitutional norms. The narrative highlights how plans built for nuclear war did not disappear when the Cold War ended. Instead, elements persisted and were adapted, which complicates democratic accountability because the public cannot easily see what is still operative. The book also points to the role of Congress, inspectors general, journalists, and declassification as imperfect mechanisms for later review, often years after key decisions were made. This topic encourages readers to think about emergency government as a policy domain deserving the same scrutiny as surveillance, war powers, or disaster response. It also frames secrecy as a trade-off rather than an absolute good. Protecting operational details may be prudent, but keeping basic principles and guardrails hidden can undermine the legitimacy continuity planning is supposed to protect. Lastly, from Cold War nuclear fear to modern all-hazards continuity. The final topic tracks the evolution of continuity thinking from nuclear doomsday scenarios to broader all-hazards planning. While the book is rooted in Cold War history, it connects that era to later national security concerns such as terrorism, cyber disruption, and large-scale natural disasters. The shift expands the relevance of continuity systems, but also changes the calculus of probability in use. A nuclear exchange was the most extreme case, yet unlikely to be managed in any normal sense. More plausible disruptions, however, might trigger continuity protocols, making questions of scope, authority, and transparency more immediate. This topic explores how institutions built for one kind of catastrophe are repurposed for others, sometimes without public reevaluation of their assumptions. It also underscores how preparedness can drift toward permanent emergency posture, where rare scenarios justify ongoing secrecy and spending. By placing continuity planning in a long arc, the book invites readers to consider what resilience should mean in a democracy. Not only the survival of command and communications, but also the capacity of society to recover while preserving rights and representative governance. The theme is ultimately about adaptation, showing how legacy systems persist and how crisis planning becomes part of the nation's everyday security infrastructure. In conclusion, this book is best for readers interested in U.S. political history, Cold War strategy, national security infrastructure, and the practical realities behind emergency preparedness. Journalists, policy students, military history enthusiasts, and civics-minded citizens will find it especially valuable because it connects hidden contingency planning to questions of legitimacy and public trust. The benefit is not merely learning about bunkers and secret sites. It is gaining a clearer picture of how governments plan for worst-case scenarios, how those plans influence budgets and institutions over decades, and how secrecy can quietly reshape the relationship between leaders and the public. That perspective can help readers evaluate modern debates about resilience, disaster response, and executive power with sharper skepticism and better context. Compared with similar books that focus narrowly on nuclear weapons, espionage, or presidential decision-making, Raven Rock stands out for treating continuity of government as a system with physical, legal, and ethical dimensions. It translates an obscure topic into a coherent narrative while raising enduring civic questions about whose safety is prioritized and how a democracy should prepare for catastrophe. For readers who want both history and implications, it is a strong and worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Garrett M.M. Graf, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.